God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in DC, let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Well, the God of the universe created the world. He didn't snap his fingers. The Lord did not wink his eye. He spoke. God said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. We'll get into being in the world and not of it in the next segment. And I want to approach this by being in the world and not of it as well. It's the continuing coverage of Charlie Kirk's assassination and the after effect of that. I just wanted to mention something that I heard in driving in to work sometimes, kind of regularly now, as a form of show prep. I listened to an ABC affiliate that simulcast their television news on the radio. It's called 920 KXOY. It's an ABC affiliate. And this morning I learned something shocking, utterly shocking. Americans are being fired from their jobs for criticizing Charlie Kirk's views. Now, that's not happening, but that's what I was told by an ABC affiliate. In fact, they spoke of a local case. There are Spokane affiliates and just across the border in Idaho. There's an assistant professor of biology at North Idaho College who they explained has been put on paid administrative leave for criticizing Charlie Kirk's views. And this is what that assistant professor wrote. Charlie Kirk once said that gun deaths are worth the cost of the Second Amendment. Thank you for your sacrifice for our Second Amendment rights, tots and pears, that you make it to hell. The misspelling of thoughts and prayers is something that the left does now. Sometimes they say tots and pears because, of course, God's not real in their eyes. So why not mock prayer? That seems to me to be a celebration of the assassination of someone for political reasons. That's not criticizing Charlie Kirk's views. And this is some of the most mild in this case of this assistant professor from North Idaho, whose name again is Matthew Singer. And I have no problem naming him. He proudly posted what he posted. I'm simply amplifying what he said. I pray no one harms him. Earnestly pray that. I don't want any harm to come to this man. Should North Idaho College fire him? It's up to them. I wouldn't take one of his classes. I wouldn't pay to have a kid attend one of his classes. I don't like paying taxes to support him. I guess I'd like to see him fired. I just feel like it was, feels like revenge. But there's a lot of instances that aren't revenge. They're simply hardcore facts. I would not want to go into an emergency room to be cared for by a doctor who celebrated the assassination of Charlie Kirk and said, more, please. There are doctors in emergency rooms who said, one down, millions to go. We should kill all the Nazis. I should not, nor should any conservative, be in the position of having to go into an emergency room to be treated by that person because he said that Charlie Kirk was a Nazi and he wasn't. He was a conservative Christian man. And he said we should kill all of them. Why would I put myself in his care? Airline pilots who are of the mind that this is something to celebrate and crow about and laugh about. To be a pilot of a commercial airliner, you have to be of stable mind. I don't believe stable minds can celebrate the murder of a 31-year-old father of what? Now, did he have three kids? Sometimes I say two. I believe it was three. I don't believe that's someone of a stable mind. And yet I wanted to be in the world and not of it. So let's get back to being not of the world. Jesus weeps at these things, and we have to forgive. I have to forgive that professor, those doctors. Doesn't mean I need to go be in their care. Doesn't mean that I have to be happy about paying taxes to them, in the case of the professors. It does mean I need to forgive them. We had a discussion the other night in youth group. We talked about, can you imagine what would happen if Erica Kirk, Charlie Kirk's widow, went to the prison in which one day perhaps Tyler Robinson will be held, the alleged murderer. And she went and met with him. And he sat down and picked up that phone on the other side of the plexiglass. And she looked at him and said, Tyler, I forgive you for murdering my husband. I spoke those words and we were talking about this and the boys, what God has done with them, what a pleasure to watch what God has done through them, to them, through the work of the men who invest in them. And I got to watch this. One boy was teary-eyed. And I asked him, hey, what are you thinking? What's coming up for you? He said, I think I'd cry. I think I'd be overwhelmed. And another boy said, I'd ask why. I'd ask, why are you forgiving me? So one of the boys, one of our my co-lead, John, said, why do we forgive? One of the boys said, well, because Jesus tells us to. True. Anyone else have an opinion? And someone said, because Jesus would do that. Almost there, guys, almost there. Then a young man spoke up and raised his hand. He said, Jesus did do that for all of us. Jesus also went to the bullet for us. The cup of wrath was aimed at us. And Jesus said, no, I'll take it. And so we have to forgive these people, even the organized groups. Today, Kash Patel in testimony in front of the House, a combined committee of the House, Senate, said that 20 people are being investigated for having foreknowledge of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I did a podcast yesterday. I think it's up on YouTube, youtube.com/@TheToddHermanShow, where I laid out what I think is the conspiracy to kill Charlie Kirk. Beginning in the broadest sense of conspiracy. And that is the creation of the special group of people who get to force you to pretend that they're a woman. Beginning then with a continual set of things that they're allowed to do, no one else is allowed to do, culminating in things like in the separate country of Washington, if you own a Brazilian bikini waxing facility and you are a Christian woman who own that facility, you can be forced by law to handle the genitalia of a man. That's law, Washington State. Man walks into your Brazilian waxing facility or perhaps your gynecological clinic, if you're a doctor. Man walks into your gynecological clinic and explains that he has this problem with his female sex organ. You have to touch his male sex organ. They make you do that. That's prepping an environment for a special group of people who get to commit atrocities against people. Now, you can say, really? You're saying that forcing a doctor to touch a man's sexual organs is abusive? Yes, if that doctor chose to work just with women, hence gynecologist, yes, it is abusive. Psychologically, at least. So laid out that case that there was a conspiracy of massive proportion to create that group of people and then to give them these absurd powers like being able to live in women's prisons where they have taken advantage of women, they have raped women, they've impregnated women in women's prisons, and they just continue to push and push and push. They went out and they took out soft targets, people who were gender defiant, gender confused, almost certainly on massive amounts of wrong sex hormones, massive amounts of SSRIs. We have no idea what these things do when combined, although we can guess with some pretty good educated guesses. They went after soft targets, children. Just kept pushing. Charlie Kirk was a harder target. He was surrounded by armed men, but not at 140 yards with that optic. Be like you looking at a TV 2 feet from your face, that close it would look like. And we have to forgive. We have to forgive those groups. Kash Patel said 20 people are being investigated. This comes from Data Republican. Does a great job of aggregating information and digging and digging and digging for connections. She writes this. Major breaking news. State Department and UN ties to armed queers of Salt Lake City now confirmed. First, credit to, and she credits a different account here, SK Double Dub. Some of these people are anonymous on Twitter, and over the years, I've gotten to see their work and see that they're trustworthy. First, credit to SK Double Dub for the crucial tip. Please follow. They're doing a podcast on this soon. Here's what you need to know. Armed Queers, Salt Lake City is now under investigation for possible foreknowledge of Charlie Kirk's assassination. Their leader, Amariah Fanayan, was recognized by a State Department-affiliated NGO, Utah Global Diplomacy, as a recipient of the 7 for 17 Award for advancing the UN 17 goals. Utah Global Democracy has since scrubbed Fanayan's presence from their website. Unknown when this purge happened, the receipts remain. Patience as I pull this together, and indeed, she has the photos of their website. Incidentally, Armed Queers of Salt Lake City, their mission was apparently to recruit, train, arm, sometimes I understand by giving arms to people and otherwise encouraging them to buy weapons and teach them in offensive actions. In other words, things like assassinations. They shut down their social media accounts on September 10th. Oh, just by the way, Chuck Grassley confirmed this morning when he was preparing to question Kash Patel that the FBI had targeted Turning Points USA, treating them like a criminal organization. The same FBI that ignored Trans Tifa, the militarized, gender-defiant group of people who've gone around the country assaulting people, achieving things like allowing men to be in women's prisons and locker rooms. They ignored the cult, the gender-defiant cult that went around the country accused of 7 murders, one of them a border guard. FBI ignored that, but was targeting Turning Points USA. And we have to forgive. Doesn't mean we don't indict. It doesn't mean that we don't continue to investigate. I fully believe that the evidence points to at least 7 people who knew what was coming. I believe the evidence points to the boyfriend of Tyler Robinson knowing what was coming. I believe the evidence indicates that moments after the shot was fired, people congratulated Tyler by name. I know. There's a community of people in the gender-defiant community who have gotten away with thing after thing. First, it was they needed a place to relieve themselves. Then they needed to shower next to girls. Then they needed to force girls and women to let them shower next to them naked. Then they needed to steal scholarships and places on sports teams. Then they needed to get into combat sports and be allowed to break women's faces. Then they needed to be allowed to be in women's prisons. Then they needed to be allowed to force women who run Brazilian bikini waxing facilities to handle male genitalia. Then they needed to be allowed to go into a gynecological clinic and pretend that they needed to have an exam of their female sex organs when they do not have female sex organs. Then they needed to force people to play their game of gender confusion. Then they needed to take some school kids out. Then they needed to take Charlie Kirk out. Can everybody see the progression? Do we think they're done? Let us not fall into hating them. We must love our enemies. No one said being a Christian is easy. No one who understands the cross. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We're called to be in the world and not of it. And the battles, of course, we're fighting are not against flesh and blood. They're against the dark forces in the spiritual realms, heavenly realms. And we don't fight it alone. We can't. The Lord Jesus has delegated to us his powers. Think of this. You know how terrified the demons must be that one day all of mankind will figure this out? Wait. Jesus Christ, when we repent of our sins, we agree that he is our Lord and Savior, that we need him, we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we abide with him, we get the Holy Spirit. He delegates to us powers to banish demons. Yeah. With the strength of his blood, he does. Can you imagine how glad they are we don't know that? There's a dynamic in American law called jury nullification. I saw the most extraordinary documentary about this once. Here's what happened. There was a man who was severely developmentally disabled. And he had done a very bad thing at one point, committed a crime, and was on probation. It was a gun crime. It was on he was on probation, and he had been cleaning a house. And he found a gun on his way to work, and he brought it to the police station, this developmentally disabled man. And he said, I found this, and it's dangerous, and kids could find it. And they arrested him for being a felon in possession of a weapon. And they took it to trial to try to get him convicted and put in prison. And someone on the jury knew about jury nullification. And a lawyer mentioned jury nullification. And the courtroom was shut down and went nuts. One of the arguments the prosecutor and attorney made is, can you imagine what would happen in this country if people learned they had the right for jury nullification? Let's truncate that statement. Can you imagine what would happen in this country if people learned about their rights? So the jury nullified the charges. They said the charges never should have been brought. This developmentally disabled man was trying to do the right thing. Can you imagine what would happen if all of mankind learned that when we repent of our sins sorrowfully, we truly feel sorrow for having hurt God, we ask the Lord Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, we recognize that, we speak that with our mouth, we abide, we have the Holy Spirit given to us as a gift, that if all of us understood we can banish demons, that with the face the size of a mustard seed, we could move mountains. Can you imagine what would happen if we'd really believed it? People in support of Charlie Kirk are fighting a massive evil spiritual force, and they're largely fighting it with a weapon that spiritual force cannot overcome. Even when they speak with great determination, they're using a weapon darkness cannot overcome. Praise God. Mrs. Erica Kirk addressed the nation and Charlie's enemies shortly after Charlie's assassination.
They should all know this. If you thought that my husband's mission was powerful before, you have no idea. You have no idea what you just have unleashed across this entire country. To everyone listening tonight across America, the movement my husband built will not die. It won't. I refuse to let that happen.
Praise God. The movement was becoming largely about Jesus Christ. That was the movement. And Erica Kirk was speaking out of love for her husband with great determination, and look what's happened. An organization that Charlie Kirk had began to make sure every time he could, he said, remember, the most important thing is Jesus Christ. He has been assassinated. He's in the arms of Jesus Christ. Turning Points USA has 18,000 requests to build chapters on campuses, chapters to help organize and teach people conservative Christian principles. They've seen Charlie Kirk's Instagram went from 4 million followers to, I think, 11 or 12 million. similar other social media platforms have blown up that way. And they tried to wipe out the light. Charlie Kirk was not the light. He simply knew the light of Christ. So Erica Kirk is using love, harnessing love, a weapon darkness cannot defeat. A light shines in the darkness cannot overcome it. The former, some people would say news personality, I don't think that's accurate. The former, let's say, presenter, actor on CNN, Don Lemon, actor. Don Lemon set out with an agenda, went to the streets of New York City to interview black people. And this woman wouldn't condemn Charlie Kirk, even when Don Lemon tried to get her to do that.
What do you think would happen to Charlie Kirk?
It's just messed up, totally messed up. You know, that was messed up. Like, nobody deserved that. He definitely didn't deserve that. He was a good guy.
You think he was a good guy?
I think he was. Like, why knock him for having this human experience or what he believed in?
Even though this belief, what he, even though he says things that are anti-women, black, all that?
That's, I can't judge him for that.
You can't?
I can't judge him for that. But I can use judgment. He didn't deserve that.
Right. Yeah. As a human being.
Yeah.
You are very spiritual.
You know, yeah.
No, you're,
I can't
you sound
go
like,
left. I
you,
can't go left
no,
with that.
No, you sound like, you mean left, going
yeah,
left,
like,
not left.
Because I'm
right.
Humanity. Yeah. I'm humanity and love first.
No, I love that. So the first person I spoke to here didn't want to be on camera, and he said, I can't judge him because I'm not God.
Oh, we can discern. We can't judge people's eternity. We can discern. We can look at the fruits of the Spirit. So let's. What were the fruits of the Spirit that we could observe in Charlie Kirk's work? What were the fruits of his work? Young people becoming civically engaged. Young people voting. Young people paying attention to issues. Young people regaining a love for civil debate. Civil-friendly disagreements. Come, let us reason together. Straight out of the Bible. Come, let us reason together. More importantly, young people coming to Christ. Those are the fruits. We could discern on that. What are the fruits of the gender ideology community that appears to be inexorably tied to the assassination of Charlie Kirk? Both with apparent foreknowledge. More than one account said something big's happening tomorrow. Two of them named Charlie Kirk. There was the song that was published the day before Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Charlie Kirk Dead at 31, published and then taken down. There was the book that went up on Amazon the day Charlie Kirk was assassinated that said the shooting of Charlie Kirk and then taken down. There was, according to Dan Bongino, Tyler Robinson saying in text, I am going to kill Charlie Kirk. And one of his friends saying why, and Tyler Robinson saying, said, because some forms of hatred cannot be negotiated with. Hatred like what? Like Charlie Kirk saying very correctly, men cannot become women. They can't. Plastic surgery is a thing. Look, you could get hormones if you wanted to. I could send you a peptide. They could take the whitest person listening to this and turn them as black as the blackest person you've ever met. It's just shots. And just affect your melanin level. I could do that today. You could look it up. It's a melanin peptide. But it doesn't make you a black person. So that couldn't be negotiated with? This community inexorably tied, I think, to what befell Charlie Kirk is something that many people are only now beginning to realize exists. Only now. So that woman wouldn't play the game. And Don Lemon, I think, did a decent job of conversing with her, praise God. She wouldn't play the division game. However, she's not a pastor, apparently. Our friends at protestia.com, I use two sources for these primarily. Protestia.com and Woke Preacher Clips TV, they do a great job of surfacing what's happening in these heretical churches. So as you listen to this, this is Pastor Jamal Bryant outraged by churches honoring Charlie Kirk.
But even in a tragic death, you cannot rewrite somebody's life. And I am all the more concerned about how America and the media is trying to remix a life of racism. and white supremacy that went forth unchecked. We cannot say somebody who called Ketanji Brown a DEI hire as somebody who is the face of Christendom when the person who said it dropped out of community college. You cannot say that the Civil Rights Bill should not have been passed and black people were in a better place in the 1940s when they had segregation and did not have freedom. You cannot say in no uncertain terms that George Floyd was a thug and Martin Luther King Jr. is not deserving of a holiday. My heart is mourning today from pastors and churches all over this country who are gonna have moments of silence and celebrate somebody who is trying to take the nation backwards.
Well, we could take it bit by bit, shall we? Okay, let's do. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through him. The way, the truth. Let's speak truth. Ketanji Brown Jackson is a DEI hire. Full stop. How can I say that? Because the people who ran Joe Biden said, we are going to have a black woman as the next Supreme Court justice. Not all qualified candidates are going to be looked at. The primary qualification is a black woman, whatever black means, whatever woman means. Those are facts. Those are truths. Charlie Kirk, in speaking about black people in the 1940s, was not speaking on behalf of segregation. He was speaking in comparison to what the policies, largely of the Democrat Party, have done to black families since then. The divorce, the fatherless households, the fact that young black men are in many cities, in fact, across the country, young black men are the number one cause of death of young black men. That's a truth, a statistical truth. It's a horrible truth, and it's a truth. Just as it is that in murders, young black men outrepresent their population sometimes by a factor of 7. It has nothing to do with their race. It has nothing to do with their genetics. We all are fallen. We all have sin problems, but it certainly has something to do with a society. So this pastor now going through and pretending these are all positions that Charlie Kirk held, does this from a pulpit. We are in the world and not of it. I pray for Pastor Jamal Bryant. It sounds like he has true, true hurt. Sounds like a truly scarred man. I pray upon him the peace of the Holy Spirit. I pray upon him clarity. I pray that the Lord Jesus will touch his heart and have him think again about whether he's serving his congregation in saying things like that, or serving any congregation. See, we're seeing fallen churches all around us. It is a plan of the enemy to create fake churches so that people can go in and convince themselves that they're worshiping Jesus. Some people call this, forgive the language, hell insurance. This is a Lutheran progressive, and Pastor Laura Groen would prefer some scripture not be read in her church.
I do not like these scriptures. There are scriptures that are hard to preach on, like the prodigal son, because it's really hard to come up with different ways to say God will always love you and take you back no matter what. But it's also joyful to come up with many, many different ways to tell you all God will always love you and take you back. These scriptures are hard to preach on because I'm a little bit not sure we should even read some of them in church. Paul sends him back with this letter that says, in super manipulative terms, I'm sending this person back to you. If you love me, and don't forget you owe me everything, you'll set him free. Now, it's clear that the intent of the letter is for this enslaved person to be set free, so that's good. But Paul also doesn't say, hey, I don't know if you have anyone else enslaved in your home, maybe you should set them free because we don't, human beings are not possessions. I would really like it if Paul said that.
Huh. I'm so glad to know what you wish Paul had said. What part of that means you don't want that scripture read? Paul was taking a specific instance and saying, I hope you will free this person. Do you think that people back then were smart enough by extension to say, perhaps we should free all slaves? Because Christ Jesus said, in the body of Christ, there's neither servant nor master. I would say that's a pretty strong statement against the treatment of people as property. Jesus also said that masters were to come under their servants and lift them up. How hard would that be versus letting someone go? We'll come back on The Disciples' View. Welcome back to Disciples View. We'll get to Tower Babbling and a personal note here in a second. A couple of cleanup items. On Twitter, a poster named Amaryllis Bahumandi wrote, Erica Kirk can't carry Charlie's legacy. His entire ideology doesn't even allow women in positions of power. Y'all chanting, she'll continue his work, while his work was literally about keeping women silent. Patriarchy doesn't pass the mic, sis. King Crankles wrote, exactly. He would want Erica to submit to another man, right? And here's my friend, and you hear her on AFR as well, my friend Katie Faust responds, if you're going to mock us, at least get our theology right. Christian women are called to submit to our own husbands, not any-every man. Like our husbands, we also submit to our pastors. We both submit to Christ. If called, Erica wouldn't just carry the TPUSA torch. God would empower her to do so. Indeed and amen. Someone emailed me a pretty angry note. It's been a while since I've been riddled with death threats. There was a time where that happened on a fairly regular basis, and it's annoying, and people would think it's scary. It's after a while, it's just cost of doing business, and knowledge that you're indestructible until Christ says otherwise helps. But this is a pretty angry note, writing to me saying, maybe you could explain through your thick, lying head why Tyler Robinson's sex life matters. Okay. I'll do that in a second. First, I want you to hear this. This is a neighbor of Tyler Robinson describing him and his gender-confused boyfriend.
Were they holding hands?
Yeah, they were. So, yeah, they drove off in his car, the Dodge Challenger.
The time you saw them or this week?
It was about the time I saw them.
Okay,
so
how long ago was that?
I would say about 2 weeks ago.
And did they? So they looked like they were a couple. So
yeah. Yeah.
And he was dressed all in black.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And you thought he was weird.
Yeah, I definitely. Yeah.
What was weird about him?
Just the way he walked and just the way I've seen him. I've never seen really anybody dressed all in black with a mask on, and I thought that was just quite weird.
For those who've never seen the roommate, describe that person for us.
He did have freckles on his face. For the haircut, he did have, it was a weird haircut.
Wicked ends.
White. It was kind of a mushroom.
So the operative part of that I wanted to hear was that Tyler and this young man were holding hands. And this angry email said, why does Tyler's sex life matter? Well, because of this. Tyler was told, you are not a same-sex attracted person because your boyfriend is a girl. Wait, did that make any sense? No, it's disordered as ever. So his boyfriend began taking, this is according to the reporting of Andy Ngo. Andy Ngo says that he's confirmed that this young man was on wrong sex hormones, which creates massive emotional swings in people. So Tyler Robinson living in an apartment with a boy who's pretending to become a girl, both of them, according to families, family members, spending tons of time on video games, in subreddits, where all the topics are about gender and gender confusion and sex outside the Bible's program for sex. All of them, all of this time in this internet culture, all of it seeped in this anger at people like Charlie Kirk, all of it surrounding this community of people speaking the language of assassination culture. It's disordered. His life was completely disordered. His life in nearly every regard stood directly against God, directly against any form of order. And we get this. We get people on social media saying, stop saying Tyler Robinson was gay. He had a girlfriend. He did not. He had a confused, dysfunctional relationship. And if you've studied autogynephilia at all, even lightly, this is men who are aroused by the idea of being women, or particularly by forcing you to pretend they're women, they're violent relationships. It's overrepresented in that. So is narcissism, sociopathy, psychopathy. Overrepresented. I'm not saying that Tyler Robinson's boyfriend was anything of that nature. I am saying Andy Ngo's reporting shows that he was on these wrong sex hormones. His sex life matters because it was part of a completely disordered life that led him to the position of apparently becoming an assassin. That's why it matters. And God help him. God help him. I in no, with no reservation whatsoever, none, I can pray for Tyler Robinson. And maybe we should. Maybe we'll do that during a personal note. I don't know. Are you guys ready for that? Could you pray for him? For real? And for his boyfriend? And for the community that surrounds him? Let's think about that together. I'll think about it and kind of pray quietly about it as we go through the next portion of the program. And we do it this way. On a Disciples View on AFR, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciples View presents The Tower of Babbling.
More than half of this country voted for the criminal, still trying to figure out what happened.
3 sound bites in today's Tower Babbling, 2 on the topic of threats. And Republicans are being told we need to watch our tongues. My friend Chris Bray wrote a great headline. Chris is a very talented writer. He wrote on Substack this headline that says more than most people say in a paragraph. Headline, watch your tone while we're shooting you. This is as the Mockingbird media and their friends in the Democrat Party are saying that in light of the Charlie Kirk assassination, Republicans need to watch their tone. Soundbite number 1, Joe Biden decided to open his campaign in 2019 by calling Trump an existential threat.
You know, I believe that the president is literally an existential threat. This is really dangerous stuff. And it's not easy. He's a threat, in my view, a threat to our core values. And folks, the fact of the matter is that 4 years of Donald Trump will be viewed as an aberration in American history.
So, to be clear, Donald Trump as president is a threat to the existence of the United States of America and everyone in it. He's a threat to our existence. Now, let's look at this in the light of an actual incident that we could all imagine. If, God forbid, you were in a position where someone was pointing a gun at your family, your wife and daughter, threatening their existence, and you had the opportunity to shoot first, would you take it? Now, that's not a turning the other cheek thing. That's protecting the least of these. And you just wind that back a little bit. You are a mentally balanced person who, in likelihood, serves the Lord Jesus. Take it to an unbalanced population who are being told that Donald Trump is literally committing genocide against gender-confused people, and that's how many of these unbalanced people living outside of God's ideas, that's what they saw. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. The corrupt governor of Illinois who acts dictatorially, J.B. Pritzker, was allowed to say Trump has racist ends in regard to immigration on NPR.
Clearly, his ends are racist ends. So he is conflating the two because he wants people to think that every person that's here that's not born in the United States is a criminal.
Is President Trump getting even close to saying that everybody here who was not born in the United States is a criminal? No. Does he clearly have racist ends? No. But if you believed that President Trump was going to go to every person not born here who has brown skin and deport them to dangerous countries, would you see President Trump as an existential threat? Yes. But Republicans need to watch their tone. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, shifting topics just a tiny little bit. This is the Prime Minister of Canada. Canada has officially embraced Islam.
These are Muslim values. These are Canadian values.
To be clear, some Muslim values include people who leave the faith should be executed. Just to be clear. And that the very rocks behind which Jews hide cry out to the fighters of Islam to say, there's a Jew behind me. Come and end the Jew's life. Those are apparently Canadian values now. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Everybody knows I like kids better than people.
On A Disciple's View.
Okay, on a personal note, I'm going to try this thing. Have you ever been close to lying to God in a prayer? You know, you're praying for something that you don't know that you really are prepared to pray for. I'm in this state of I've never done that. So I'm examining whether I can truly pray for Tyler Robinson. Let's do this. Let's picture him the way Christ might. I mean, it's a dangerous thing to try to think like God because we can't. His ways are above ours, greater than ours in all ways. He sees all things. But we can consult his word. We can spend time with Christians more mature than we are. We can pray. We can listen to his voice. And so as I often do, I'm going to picture Jesus outside the tomb of Lazarus weeping. Not the way it was supposed to be. The smell of death. I'm going to picture Christ as he came upon a leper. Not the way it was supposed to be. And Jesus so often asked, I think almost every time, if someone wanted to be cured. You'd always want a statement of faith, participation. But I'm thinking of Jesus seeing bodies riddled with disease. This isn't the way it was supposed to be. I'm thinking of Jesus approaching demon-ridden men as the demons recognize him. What have you to do with us, Son of Man? And Jesus casting them out and them saying, let us go into the swine. And Jesus allowing them to go into the swine. And then the swine go off the cliff into the ocean. And so go the demons. And Jesus is banished from that town because he destroyed swine. not, of course, paying attention to the fact that he restored a man's soul. So before this prayer, I'm picturing Tyler Robinson, who is taken in by a world of people I fully and without reservation believe are utterly captured by Satan. Beginning with the denial of God's design. In the beginning, God created human beings in his image. Male and female, he created us. Nope, at the very beginning, no way. We will not serve. None serve him. I will not be a man. I'm going to pretend to be a woman. I am my own God. I know what the Bible says about sexuality. I don't care because this feels good. I know what it says about coveting, but I don't care. I'm going to covet womanhood. And an increasing series of absurdities, they believe, trans women are women. In fact, they're better women than real women. And then the atrocities that continue to mount. I'm not blaming all gender-confused people. Far from it. Most have never done a thing like that. Autogynephilic men, on the other hand, very violent people. As a whole. So with that, I'm praying, picturing Tyler Robinson in a spiritual cage. Dear Father God, you created Tyler Robinson in your image. And Lord, I'm picturing him in a cage, held there in restraints by Satan's lies, the lies of this world. And I'm picturing him as an infant. And Lord, it's to the infant I want to pray, because in your eyes, we're all infants. Father God, please lift this great evil from Tyler. Please allow him to hear your love and to return to you. And please do that for this entire community. In Jesus' name I pray. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God grants us permission to speak again together. May his peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.